Tonight Show. Good evening. Tom Swift at the football game. Fate has a curious way of paying her debts, as Tom Swift found out. One bright Saturday afternoon, while playing the rugged game of Feats Ball, as it was called, while a huge crowd watched the game at Tom Swift Stadium, things looked dark indeed for Tom's team, which was called the Kilkenny Wildcats, because most of the players were ex-convicts from Kilkenny State Institute, or KSI, as Tom and the parole officers fondly called it. "Do not be discouraged, Tom," cried Tom's good friend, Professor Wright, who was standing on the sidelines. The crowd took up the professor's exhortation. "No, never fear, Tom, for soon your turn will come," the crowd chanted. Unfortunately, their encouraging words did not reach young Tom, for he had been kidnapped by unscrupulous gamblers who wished to see the Kilkenny Wildcats defeated by their arch-rivals, Chesnitz Prep. Young Tom was, even now at this very moment, bound hand and foot and lying in an abandoned automat in the tuna fish salad slot. He had been slugged, drugged, and mugged by four masked men who had carried him off. The only clue Tom had as to their identity was what they called one another, stupid. However, Tom was not one to lie long in idleness, and soon his fertile brain concocted a scheme to free himself, perhaps in time for the game. Constructing a shortwave radio set with his upper lip and knees, he called the president of the New York Stock Exchange on the radio. Not giving his name, Tom merely said in a dignified yet friendly voice, "I understand the automat at 32 East Hefner Street is at an excellent location." The stock exchange president buzzed the buzzer, and soon the wheels of industry were set in motion. The automat was purchased for $1 million, incorporated, redecorated, and soon the customers were pouring in their nickels at the ready. If only, Tom thought, one of them would come over to the tuna fish salad slot. For, if I am any judge, the first three quarters of the feats ball game, as Tom called it, are over. Then, unfortunately, an elderly gentleman wearing a pince-nez and carrying an umbrella stopped in front of the glass window covering the slot into which young Tom was crowded. "Bless me," he expostulated, and Tom realized it was none other than his good friend, Professor Shawkey. Tom tried to look as much like an appetizing tuna fish salad as possible so that the professor would open up the glass window. But alas, the professor chose a cream cheese salad instead with sliced pineapple, and Tom closed his eyes in disgust. The only thing to do, he thought, is to invent spontaneous combustion, and he set the whole place on fire. Fortunately, Tom did not have to resort to this crackling idea, for he heard a nickel dropped in the slot and saw the glass window pulled up, and felt himself being drawn out and placed on a tray. "Bless me," an old gentleman expostulated, as he saw the tuna fish salad tied up with hemp and rope and wearing a football uniform. And Tom recognized him as his old friend, Professor Swelk. When Tom addressed the professor, explaining who he was and the predicament he was in, the professor could hardly believe his old ears. In fact, he tried to stuff Tom back in the slot after breaking his fork on his shoulder pads. But the window was locked shut. Finally, with the professor's help, Tom managed to free himself, and it was but the work of a moment to argue the management into giving the professor his four nickels back, and then Tom hopped in a police car and started for the stadium, sirens blowing and brakes screeching, and the two policemen he had stolen the car from chasing him and waving their sticks. Tom drove up into the field. Amid the cheers of his many friends, he leapt out and faced the coach. "There's no time for explanations, my lad," said the coach, giving Tom a pat on the back. "Just go in there and win for the honor of old KSI. Hardly able to see for the tears brimming in his eyes, Tom dashed out on the field and rejoined his mates, who were, of course, overjoyed to see him. "Oh, you, Tom. I see you made it, old fellow. Crickies, but it's good to have you in the game, Tom. These fellows are walloping the very daylights out of us." Tom looked over the opponents, the aggregation from Chesnitz Prep. They seemed older and heavier than his boys, and some of them looked like safecrackers and second-story men. However, Tom knew that the bigger they are, the harder they fell, and so he joined the players in the huddle with a confident step. "What's the score?" he asked the fullback, red-headed Marv Schlepperman. 210-0, replied fun-loving Marv. At this point, the referee penalized the KSI quarterback 29 yards for talking in the huddle. Tom anxiously looked at his watch. There were only 4 seconds left to play. "Let's give them what for, fellows," hurrahed Tom, and the referee penalized Chesnitz 41 yards for roughing the kicker. However, the constant marching up and down exhausted him, and a substitute referee was sent in. "Bless me," expostulated the new referee, and Tom recognized him as his good friend, Professor Whiffle. The first thing Professor Whiffle did was penalize both teams 41 yards for being out of uniform, for he was under the impression they were engaged in a baseball match. But we shall have to continue our story of Tom Swift's feetsball contest, as Tom calls it, at a later time.